These are sort of good times for people with bad, embarrassing handwriting. With everything printed or typed and spell-checked, when was the last time you put that sailboat-looking flourish on a handwritten cursive S?
Hi, I'm Mike Schutz from West Grove, Pennsylvania, and I have not written cursive since college back in the 1970s. I stopped doing it because my handwriting was horrible, so I went to printing everything, and it's been so long since I've written cursive that if I try to write anything other than my signature, my hand just will not do that. It will not go in those directions. So, unfortunately, I can't even fake my wife's written name.
Hi, this is Clay from Foxborough, Massachusetts. You know, I still make a point to write notes, but I can tell that from my own experience that my writing skills have diminished a bit, and I see that the craft of penmanship has slipped. It's really sad because we lose the sentiment of a note. I love you in a text or an email is not the same as I love you in a handwritten note.
Author Anne Trubeck has examined closely the impact of handwriting on society. In her new book, The History and Uncertain Future of Handwriting, Trubeck says the digital revolution is both launching us toward a no-handwriting future and also sending us backward in time to when the spoken word ruled.
Well, handwriting certainly has been around for about 6,000 years. It's actually pretty recent in terms of how long humanity has been around. Calligraphy in the West is actually pretty new. It was a sort of an invention of the machine age. So when you have, you know, the sort of move to industry in response, you have sort of William Morris and the arts and crafts movement, and the calligraphy movement in the West grows out of that sense that things were becoming more standardized and generic.
And there's always been a tradition of elaborate celebration of handwriting in the Muslim world with the Qurans and the way in which Arabic is both learned, spoken, and written.
Absolutely. And that's also true of Hebrew and Judaism, where the actual writing of the holy text is very important and very central to the religion. And writing is a spiritual act and reserved often for those who have, you know, mastered certain criteria and have certain credentials only.
So given all those competing traditions that are all very worthy and the practicalities of 21st century life, where does a question like should kids learn handwriting or cursive handwriting, how does that question get resolved?
I don't think kids should be assessed on their ability to master cursive. It's not going to be something they're going to use much in their lives as they grow older. It's not something most of us adults use in our lives today. That isn't to say that kids shouldn't do it if they want to, and schools might, you know, want to offer it as in arts or an elective, but to grade kids on their ability to do the loop on the G the correct way when that's not something it will be pertinent to their lives doesn't seem to make sense.
Although there is a joy in seeing a child create a sentence with their own hands, both for a parent and a teacher and the child, that you just can't duplicate in, you know, typing or printing out a document from a computer.
I would say, one, there's also a lot of pain when a child can't write that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And two, what's most important for me, I think, in education is good writing. Is to focus on how to teach children how to express their ideas, how to organize their thoughts, how to make arguments, you know, the content of the writing. The forming of the letters is less important. And there are certainly many ways to individualize what you write beyond having, you know, the way you circle the I, you know, or cross your T.
And in fact, there are many writers today who operate exclusively with vocal interfaces.
That's right.
And these are, you know, people who are well-educated, who don't have problems with handwriting, but who prefer now to dictate.
Sure.
To computers. Novelist Richard Powers is a good example, and there are others.
Absolutely. I mean, in some ways, all writing is artificial. You need a technology for any kind of writing. A pencil is a technology. Speaking is the most natural form of communicating. And so voice recognition software in some ways is the least mediated form of writing you can do. Socrates, you know, valued orality, and he was very down on writing. He thought, you know, sort of if culture started to do more writing, we would forget things, it would be less complex. And many of the great authors and figures throughout history have either dictated to scribes. Caesar would have 7 scribes running around behind him as he walked through the Roman Colosseum. Henry James would dictate to a secretary who typed all of his writing because he loved the sound of the typewriter. He loved dictating, and that's what worked for him.
And if you read carefully, Plato, who was very suspicious of reading culture in the ways in which it would damage memory, would Plato have preferred to have just waited until oral software came around? Would have preferred to just bypass writing altogether?
Sure, except the only reason that we know this, we know his thoughts and Socrates' thoughts, is because Plato wrote them down. But absolutely, people living in an oral culture, completely oral culture, have much more capacious memories than those of us who are literate and live in literate cultures. I mean, just imagine if you could never look anything up, how much more you retain in your head if you knew you could never just go look it up later.
Or how empty your head might be if you just Google everything all the time.
That's true.
Which one is the case? Do you like handwriting? I find that in this digital culture that we have, the value of a personalized typewritten letter and a personalized handwritten letter is extraordinarily valuable either when I receive one or when I send one.
I think that it's the effort that is taken by the writer. So if I were to write on my computer a long letter, print it out, then I put it in an envelope and write the snail mail address and send and put a stamp on it and send it through the mail, it's meaningful because you've taken more time and effort. And I think a lot of where we still do handwriting today is valuable because people recognize it took more effort to do it because an email is simply easier to do.
I'll tell you a story of something that kind of represents the whole cycle here. My poor daughter, first day of classes in college, didn't have a government ID and needed her passport FedExed to her so she could get her work-study job. I tossed the passport in a FedEx envelope, did all the digital online shipping stuff that you do. But I couldn't just send it off without tossing in a little note that say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And it sends off. She gets it. And I get a picture on my smartphone of the note that I sent to her with just a huge number of hearts, which underscores the value of handwriting right there. I mean, she was so pleased to receive my dreadful handwriting.
Absolutely. I mean, for us today, 21st century America, handwriting represents something individual and unique about a person. It hasn't always meant that in previous times in history, and it won't always mean that in the future. But right now for us, we relate our sense of self to our handwriting.
But let's admit it, it's going away, right?
Slowly, but yeah. A lot of people, you know, are very adamant about the importance of it, but at the same time will admit that they never handwrite themselves.
Anne Trubeck is author of The History and Uncertain Future of Handwriting. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.